We are up to Tzav Vezira's Os Yud Gimel, the 13th entry here in the Rebbe's diary. And this segment, it's very intense. The Rebbe speaks very stridently. And even though maybe we're not on this level yet, it gives us an opportunity to really take seriously our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just caveat number one that we should be aware of going into this piece. Number two is that there is not one way in life. There's not one way in Avodas Hashem and relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's not one way in parenting. There's not one way in approaching nature. There are lots of different ways. So you might find that this approach doesn't speak to you. And that's totally fine. That's totally okay. So caveat number one was, even if we're not at this level, if this speaks to us, we can aspire to it. We can grow and work toward it. Caveat number two is, this might not speak to us at all. And that's also okay. It's part of our Avodas Hashem. There is a well-known outreach organization that runs seminars. And years ago, I had the opportunity to participate in one of these seminars, and they had various classes on approaches to proving God or believing God or authenticating God and our tradition. And because I'm not so smart, I'm not very intelligent, and I'm certainly not very philosophically inclined, I thought it was very interesting, but I wasn't sure if I was convinced by these approaches. But I also was pretty sure that even if maybe I was convinced in the moment, there were definitely smarter people in the audience, colleagues or friends of mine, who if they were convinced, that would be better, because they would have known, you know, whether or not these so-called proofs stand up to, you know, philosophical tests, the test of intellectual rigor. So I didn't know. I thought it was interesting, but I didn't necessarily feel that it spoke to me to the extent that that forms the foundation of my Judaism. For other people, these types of philosophical approaches to appreciating Hashem are very powerful. But the Rebbe here speaks very, very strongly against building our faith, our Avodas Hashem, our relationship with Hashem, on these types of external proofs. Betach shamata. I'm sure you've heard. O Ra'isa. Or you've seen. Basfarim in books. Al Mitzias Elokis. On divine existence. Or you went to a seminar or a class or a lecture. La'osam chalushe emuna. For those who are weak in emuna, in faith, in connection. V'ikar rayoseim, and their main proofs, mina olam hein, from the main proofs that they have are from the world. Hein, briyaso, the creation of the world. Chachmaso, its wisdom. V'yacholto, you know, people talk about the incredible, amazing nature of the human eye, the miraculous workings of the human body, of photosynthesis, of the natural world. The Rambam talks about this in Hilchos Yisori HaTorah. Va'im gam lecha rayos ha'olam nechutzos. Is it true that for you, you need worldly proofs to the existence of Hashem? Hoi va'voi, says the Rebbe. Oi, that's terrible. Terrible. Strong language. Ha'im lo sishma, have you not heard? V'lo tira, and you've not seen? Eich nafshecha, how your own inner soul and yourself, betucha b'riyasa as Hashem, is confident in its seeing of Hashem? Umidaberes elo b'lo shon nochach, that our soul speaks directly to God in second person? Ata Hashem, you God, heim b'tfilasa, heim b'tshukasa, in its conversation of davening, in its yearning. Why? Kevon shebe'emes, because in truth, roa he also yisbarach l'neged einav. Your soul, your inner self, really sees God right before its own eyes. Uchishit so'ekes mimachovea, when our sense of self cries out, lo ira raki ato imadi, it says, oh, at least I have the comfort of knowing that God is with me. That is a feeling, ki'ilu kivyachol, is if, so to speak, God ochezes bekise kavodo, that God's throne is there, and it's as if we're holding on to God's throne when we're going through a difficult period. V'sha v'rafala, and it returns and it heals the neshama. Uchishe kosefes, when it yearns, desires, like the word kesef, nichsof nichsafta means to desire. Umishtapeches lefanav, and the soul pours out its connection and desire and longing for Hashem. Rav Kook has a line in the beginning of the Siddur in the introduction that the soul is always davening. Omeris, it says, Ana Hashem karveni elecha. Please, God, bring me close to you. Ubatil es atzmi umahusi b'cha, and nullify my soul to the greater soul, to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki tshuas tshukasi elecha gedola. My desire to be close to Hashem is so great. So the Rebbe says, that's where the source of emunah is found. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was interviewed, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was interviewed somewhere, I forget where it was. And you know, he was a great philosopher. He was an insightful and incisive thinker, a brilliant wordsmith, right? A one in a generation. An unbelievable figure. In terms of the world of machshav, of thought, of explicating and explaining principles and the logic and the rational, compelling nature of Judaism and religion for the entire world. And yet when he was asked about his own way of developing faith, he talked about what he calls his emuna pshuta, simple faith. Now, emuna pshuta can mean different things, but perhaps in the context that the Rebbe is talking about, emuna pshuta, in this context here, is about the experiential, the feeling of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is unrelated to the rational or cognitive proofs, to the intellectual thoughts. This emuna is about our soul feeling connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rabbi Sacks said was his wellspring of faith, which is amazing. You would not, at least I wouldn't have expected it. Maybe I didn't know so well. So the Rebbe goes on, and he says, "Umeyata now, lomalacha rayos michutz la'atzmacha al metzias yisbarach. Why do you need proofs outside of yourself about the existence of Hashem? Im nafshecha kol kach betucha b'riyasa uso yisbarach." If your own soul has experienced, has seen Hashem, has witnessed His presence, so why do you need a proof? What's the point of the proof? Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, pointed this out in a footnote in Lonely Man of Faith, where he notes that the trouble with all rational demonstrations of the existence of God, with which the history of philosophy abounds, consists in their being exactly what they were meant to be by those who formulated them. Abstract, logical demonstrations divorced from the primal, living, primal experiences in which these demonstrations are rooted. That's why he points out the Rambam first talks about yediya, intimate knowledge of Hashem on an experiential level, before he gets to the later discussions about apprehending God through the natural world and the wonders of life. Rav Soloveitchik has an amazing line. He says, quote, "Does the loving bride in the embrace of her beloved ask for proof that he is alive and real? Must the prayerful soul clinging in passionate love and ecstasy to her beloved demonstrate that he exists?" It's exactly what the Rebbe is saying. If we have that feeling of connection, of realness, so then you don't need a proof. That's not necessary. It's not impactful in any way. It's the same idea as the Rebbe. It's about that inner experience. So he finishes this piece. The Rebbe says, let's put it back on the screen. Lost it. Here we go. Ushlomo HaMelech machriz ve'omer. Shlomo HaMelech calls out and he says, Chochmos b'chutz tarona. Mipesi yasser heina chacham lev ve'omer lo. This expression of Chochma b'chutz tarona. The Chachma, the wisdom, is b'chutz. It's outside. It's tarona, like sings or cries. Mi pesi yasser heina. But the different pasuk initially says, who's the fool who will go out after that? Who needs to go outside to find the proof? Chachma b'chutz tarona. The wisdom, it's calling to us from the outside. Mi shitzarach l'chachmas chutz. Who needs a proof from the outside? Lahavi rayos michutz la'atzmo, to bring proofs to himself from outside of himself, min ha'olam. Who is that? Pesi v'chacham chasar levu. That person is a fool and lacking heart. It doesn't say lacking mind. Chacham chasar lev, lacking heart. There's a big difference between the mind and the heart. The Rebbe says, our relationship with God, it's not predicated on the mind. It's predicated on the heart. Ki im haya lo lev, if the person had a heart, az es hakol milibo ra'a v'yada, then he saw everything in his heart and he knew. V'lo haya tzarech l'chachma michutz l'libo. The person would not require chachma, wisdom, outside of his heart. Very powerful. So how do we nurture this idea? Maybe we look at ourselves. I could certainly say that there are times when I look at myself and I say, do I have that leave? Do I feel that connection? Where do we find this? Number one, how do we see it expressed? And number two, how do we nurture it in ourselves? So there is a sefer. The sefer is called Magid Devar of Yaakov. Magid Devar of Yaakov is a collection of teachings of the Magid of Mezrich. The Halige Mezrich or Magid was the student of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the founder of Chassidus, and the Magid of Mezrich, the Mezricher kind of took the initial spark of the Baal Shem HaKadosh and broadened it and amplified it to a wider audience that got the movement of Chassidus going. So in the introduction to the, in the second introduction to the Magid of Yaakov, there's a piece from Shlomo of Lutsk, where he has an amazing observation about life. And I'll read it to you in translation because it's the first half of this question of where do we see that expression of godliness in the world, even in the physical world in which we live? Where do we see it on the inside, that inner dimension? He says, this idea can be sensed in everything, for the life force of the Creator is everywhere. Everything possesses taste, odor, appearance, or love. Going back to that same mashal of Rav Soloveitchik, of the love, of the experience of love with that other person. When we abstract, i.e., it is beloved or feared or considered beautiful and so on for all other attributes. When we abstract this quality from its corporeality and contemplates only its spirituality, such as taste or odor and the like, in and of itself, it will be obvious to us that the taste or odor, etc., is intangible and invisible and can only be apprehended conceptually by man's life force and soul. Therefore, it is certainly a spiritual thing. Where do we find spirituality? Says Rav Shlomo of Lutsk, we find it in the spiritual qualities of life. These are not intellectual aspects of our existence. Love, it's a feeling. Or beauty, it's a feeling, it's a sense. He says those, at their root, the shorish of those things, of course, is ruchnius, is spirituality. A sense, even a sense of style. Now, obviously, this is not our deepest neshama. This is not our deepest connection to godliness, but it's part of a spiritual existence. When we look at that dress, or we look at that winter snowfall, we say, ah, it's beautiful. There's a deep resonance. There's an emotional feeling. So that is spiritual. That's that inner connection. That's recognizing that we have a soul. The whole existence of the concept of love, that is a spiritual concept. The shorish of that, says Rav Shlomo Avlos, the shorish of that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is spirituality. Because it's not physical at all. Love or friendship, these are not physical. They are spiritual. So on the one hand, you might say, wow, the Rebbe, he's setting up this such a standard for us to say that apprehending God is not on an intellectual plane, it's on an emotional, experiential plane, but I don't feel that connection to God. But the truth is, you do feel that. If you have a heart, if you have been wowed by a sunset, or held hands with somebody walking on the beach, or looked at a child and felt something, those are all expressions of spirituality, of neshama, that at their root are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're at the root of godliness. So that's part of the shoresh, that's part of our experiencing Hashem in this world. So even if you don't have what the Rebbe is describing here, I think the first way is to recognize that we do have that. We do have those feelings. Those feelings are rooted in Hashem. So that's number one. But number two, the other side is, the Rebbe is talking here about the soul within us is speaking and is communing with Hashem. Well, where does that manifest? How do we find that? So we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God revealed himself to Eliyahu HaNavi, he said to him, go out there to the desert, stand in the rock, and I will come. First, there was a noise, a earth-shattering noise, but that's not where God was. And then there was a fire, a burning furnace. And God says, that's not. Lo barash Hashem, v'lo ba'esh Hashem. God is not in the fire, and he's not in the furnace. Where is God? Bekol demama daka. In the small, quiet voice. That's where we find Hashem. We find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the small, quiet voice. So when there was a stillness in the desert, Eliyahu HaNavi knew that was when the presence of Hashem was with him. And perhaps this is the second part. That to find that inner voice that's talking to Hashem, we need kol demama daka. We need silence. We need quiet. The Rebbe is saying our soul is connected to God. We're feeling connected to God. We have an inner voice that's reaching out to him. But you know what? Perhaps part of the reason that it's difficult for us to feel that or hear that is because we have so much other noise. There's a cacophony out there in the world that's occupying the space of our head that's so loud all the time. Maybe we need a kol demama daka to feel and to hear that voice of Hashem. To take a few minutes, whether it's a few minutes each day or sometimes, just to turn off the radio, to turn off the cell phone, to turn off social media, and have a moment, a kol demama daka moment, a soft, quiet, silent moment. And maybe then we'll hear Hashem. A, Hashem is found in the affect, in the emotion. And B, Hashem is found in the silence. So my Rebbe Rav Moshe Weinberger loves to tell this famous story, and he's told it a zillion times, but I'll just mention it now again because it reaches this point. It's the difference between proving God intellectually, which the Rebbe, as you see, says is very weak, although maybe there's a place for it, versus having that feeling, that connection. He tells the story of a poetry contest. A poetry contest that took place every year. Many of you are familiar. I've told this story many times. He's told it even many, many more. A poetry contest that was held in rural England in a small town. And every year, the great Oxford student, the young man who won the contest because he was such a brilliant orator, he picked something from Wordsworth. This man came back in one year after year. Finally, one year, they're gathering. They're in the town square. The tent is set up. People are lined up. They're socially distant. Don't worry. And they're still wearing masks, even though it's outside, because it's a good thing to do. Great. And an older gentleman comes, and he signs up to read, but he's given the last spot. He says he'd like to read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. So to make a long story short, because most of you know the story already, but it's important to repeat it anyway. The great orator from Oxford stands up and he delivers the Wordsworth poem flawlessly. And people are stunned. And they stand and they clap and they cheer and they roar. And then gets to the little old man with his cap and his cane and his thin, wispy beard, who shuffles to the front and gets up to the lectern. And he begins, Mizmor L'David Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And with his European accent, he goes line by line through the entire psalm, and he finishes the psalm. He looks up, there's silence. People are silently weeping in their seats. And he shuffles off away from the lectern. People get up and they mill about. And the Oxford young man comes over to the elderly gentleman, to this Yid, to this Jew, and he says to him, can you explain to me, why is it that when I spoke, people clap, but when you spoke, they cried? And he said, the difference is that I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. The words, those are the intellectual expressions of the mind, but the heart that the Rebbe is talking about, that's the knowledge. We all deep down know that shepherd. And so by taking some cold mama daka time, by focusing on the more spiritual sides of our life, hopefully we can nurture our own knowledge, our own feeling, our own hearts, and our own connection to Hashem.